So we left off the previous year with a question that all the Rishonim were bothered with. And on the one hand, we have a sugya of mitzvah babi aveira. The Gemara is deriving from sukkim, albeit sukkim in Navi, but the Gemara is deriving from sukkim, the principle of mitzvah babi aveira, and that principle disqualifies a lulav gozel, even after the first day, even on days when there's no problem of lachem. And nevertheless, the Gemara in Masechta Sukkah of Testament Aleph raises a question: how do we know that a sukkah gezula is disqualified? And the Gemara quotes a special pasuk. So come to Bisham and ask, what do I need a special pasuk for? Isn't it obvious? Isn't it covered by the principle of mitzvah babi aveira? So that question, like Tosfos and Daf Tes and Sukkah, to conclude that the entire principle hakol mikol kol of mitzvah babi aveira is only midrabanan. It means it's a pasuk, but malachi. The pasuk malachi is not a real din derai. So it's only a din midrabanan. And therefore, you can't ask a question anymore. Why do I need a pasuk to disqualify a sukkah gezula? Isn't it mitzvah babi aveira? The answer is no. That there is no such principle on a level of deraisa of mitzvah babi aveira. So there is no din klal. There is no general, universal halacha of mitzvah babi aveira being a problem. It's a very specific halacha in different areas. So in sukkah, there's a special example, of course, of sukkah gezula's psulos. That's the approach of Tosfos and Daf Tes in sukkah. But there are other Rishonim who clearly didn't take that approach. Tosfos and our sugya clearly didn't take that approach. Ritva didn't take that approach. Another Rishonim were of the opinion that, no, we take the Gemara and the Drasha Malachi very seriously, that it's a real din min haTorah, and mitzvah aveira is a real psul midaraisa. And then back to square one, back to the original question, so why do we need a pasuk by sukkah? So we saw at the very end of the shiur on Wednesday that the Ritva quotes a possibility. Take a look back at the fourth of the Ramah Kamos, bottom of the first page, the fourth of the Ramah Kamos. So the Ritva quotes from eight Tosfos. It's not the Tosfos that we have. It's a Tosfos from Bein Peretz and Maseches Pesachim. And the second line of the fourth of Ramah Kamos, Tirtzu B'Tosfos. To leke lemeima mitzvah babi aveira, el bedavar bolu ratzos, kekorben velulav, avalo b'sha mitzvos. So comes the Ritva and suggests that maybe the principle of mitzvah aveira does exist in HaTorah, but in a very, very limited scope. Let's not forget that the original source of mitzvah babi aveira is by karbonos. So maybe one could argue that there's a certain characteristic of karbonos that lends itself to mitzvah babi aveira that may not exist by all mitzvahs. What is that characteristic of karbonos? So one could have argued, maybe it's kedusha, maybe it's tara, it's mikdash, kapara. I could have thought of a half dozen characteristics that a karbon has. So comes the Ritva and quotes from Rabbeinu Peretz and says, no, that the unique aspect of karbon that disqualifies mitzvah babi aveira is the fact that it's bala ratzos, that the whole goal of the korban is to appease HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is to give the ratzon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to create that relationship, so to speak, between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's that aspect of the ratzon that disqualifies mitzvah babi aveira. And therefore, the Ritva says, any mitzvah that has that component is subject to the disqualification of mitzvah babi aveira. Any mitzvah that is lacking that component is not subject to the psul. What are some mitzvahs that do and what are some mitzvahs that don't? So one mitzvah that does is lulav. How do we know that? Well, that's the case in Gemara. So we better make sure that lulav fits into that category. How does lulav have the dimension of the ratzos? So the Ritva doesn't make direct mention of this, but it seems to be based on the Gemara later on in Masechta Sukkah, where the Gemara speaks about part of the mitzvah of lulav is shaking the lulav. Now if you think about it for a moment, the shaking of lulav is a very strange thing, because we don't tend to do that with other mitzvahs. We don't get up and shake our matzah before we don't shake our tefillin before we put them on. So what is this? My high. Mani started this idea that we shake a lulav. So shaking the notion of taking something and waving it and shaking it is something that we only find in mikdash. We only find it by karbonos. We find that there's the chaz v'shok, there's certain parts of karbonos that are set aside and designated, and they're shaked, we wave them. Chaz v'atnufa, we shake and we wave them. There are certain other parts, we say it in the Ezer Mekobot a little bit, we make reference to the El Nazir. When a Nazir brings a certain karbonos, there are certain parts that are waved, that are brought as well. Their bikurim are required tenufa, which is also like a quasi kind of a karbon. So the notion of being mainif something, being mayim something, that is something we're familiar with, but clearly in the realm of karbonos. So my eye, that lulav requires a tenufa. So lest you think, oh, it's just coincidental, nothing real to do with karbonos. So the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says that, how do you wave the lulav? What direction? How do you know how to wave the lulav? So Gemara says, the same way that you wave the Kabbi Mincha, the same way that you wave the Chaz V'Shar, the same way you wave in the Beis HaMikdash, that's the same, this way, that way, up, down, all four directions, that's how you do the Tanufa on the Lulav as well. So it's clear from the Gemara that the Tanufa of the Lulav is almost like a gift to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like we're presenting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a song called Kodesh, up, up, down, down, right, left, and all around. So that's what we're doing. We're saying to the Baruch Shalom, we're, in a sense, presenting to you the lulav, the dalaminim. This is our gift to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This direction, that direction. Not all that different than when one brings a korban. So comes the Ritva and says that adds the dimension of l'ratzon to a lulav, and therefore lulav is in the parasha of mitzvah b'aviver. And that's why Agamar applies the principle when it comes to dalaminim. However, back in the test, when it comes to Masechah Sukkah is a wonderful mitzvah, all for the mitzvah of Sukkah. It's an even higher level of mitzvah than the mitzvah of lulav. They say in the Chassidish Svarim, they talk about the hierarchy of lulav and sukkah, which is a greater mitzvah. So they quote from the, one of the rabbis, I don't remember which one, that sukkah is a greater mitzvah than lulav. Why is that? A lulav, I'm holding on to the lulav. The second I put it down, it's done, it's finished. I have no connection to it anymore. A sukkah, I'm enveloped by the sukkah, I'm in the sukkah. So sukkah, I walk around and I'm still in the sukkah. So sukkah is a higher level than lulav. But then the Pshat goes one step further. It says that Shabbos is a greater mitzvah than sukkah. Why? Because sukkah, it's true, you're enveloped by the sukkah. That's as long as you're in the sukkah. You can walk out of the sukkah. So you walk out of the sukkah. So I'm out of the sukkah now. So Shabbos, you can't walk out of Shabbos. So remember, once a rabbi, I think I mentioned this once here. Once there was a rabbi who lived in Manhattan who told me that when he heard the Shtichel Torah, he realized that the rebbe who said that never lived in Manhattan. Because if you live in Manhattan and Shabbos in Manhattan, you can walk out of Shabbos. You walk out of your house, you walk out of shul, and you've officially walked out of, not halachically, but officially you've walked out of Shabbos. So getting back to this story. So comes the Ritva and says that sukkah is a great, wonderful mitzvah. Maybe it's a higher level mitzvah than lulav, but it doesn't have that dimension. It doesn't have the characteristic of l'ratzon. And therefore, it's not subject to the rules of mitzvah b'aveira. And therefore, we require a special pasuk to disqualify sukkah gzula. So at the end of the day, lulav goes l'os pasul. At the end of the day, sukkah gzula is psula, but for different reasons. One is pasul because of exeris hakosav, and one is pasul because of mitzvah b'aveira. So notwithstanding this idea that the Ritva is quoting from Rabbeinu Peretz, the Ritva rejects this. If we continue on Valesa, the Ritva on the third line rejects the Shtichel Torah. Valesa, ki demuchach b'Yerushalmi b'psachem gabi matzah gezula, that the Yerushalmi applies the principle of mitzvah b'aver to stolen matzah. Now, stolen matzah, what does that have to do with l'rotzo? Matzah, we don't wave at matzah. So matzah is much closer to the ma'al of sukkah. The afa pichein, and nonetheless, the Gemara still applies the rule of mitzvah b'aveira. That sounds like it is not supporting this idea that the Ritva, the Rabbeinu Peretz, are suggesting. So ultimately, the Ritva rejects the Shtichel Torah of Rabbeinu Peretz based on that Yerushalmi. What would Rabbeinu Peretz respond? So I would say we'd have to wait till we get to the sugya matzah gzula. So in theory, we would get to it, except it's about 25 sugyas down the line, and the very, very end of the sugyas of the Lubav Gozal. So I'm not sure we're going to get to it in the next 2 weeks. So we'll have to hold off on that. So matzah gzula is a complicated sugya in and of itself, but the Rabbeinu Peretz offered his pshat, and the Ritva ultimately rejected his pshat based on the Yerushalmi. So now that the Ritva rejects Rabbeinu Peretz's pshat, so what is the pshat? What is the correct answer? So back to square one, back to the drawing board. Why do you need a pasuk to disqualify a sukkah gzula? What happened to mitzvah b'aveira? So comes the Ritva on the fourth line, and continues v'yesh leimar. Ti'anan hashtel l'shmuel kamidon, delay slay mitzvah b'aveira pechlu v'gozul. U'mishim hachi, it's trichlei kuala mute gzula. Says the Ritva, breakthrough teretz. He said, Gabald, what in the pasuk to disqualify sukkah gzula? Isn't it obvious it's possible because of mitzvah b'aveira? The answer is yes, it is possible because of mitzvah b'aveira, according to those opinions who accept the principle of mitzvah b'aveira. But guess what, says the Ritva? Not everybody agrees to that principle of mitzvah b'aveira, and therefore it could be that the sugya on the Tesam and Aleph that is searching for a pasuk to disqualify sukkah gzula is following that other opinion. So there are two acceptable opinions that appear in Masechah Sukkah. One opinion maintains there is a psula mitzvah b'aveira. One denies the psula mitzvah b'aveira. So according to the sheet that accepts it, Yitaka don't need a pasuk to disqualify sukkah gzula. It's understood by itself. But according to the other view, according to the dissenting view, that there's no such thing as mitzvah. It doesn't exist. It's not on the radar screen. If mitzvah b'aveira doesn't exist, so then in the chanami, then you in fact do need a pasuk to disqualify sukkah gzula. So the Ritva offers his interpretation, his pshat. Now, of course, the Ritva's pshat is only as true as its facts are. Namely, is that really true? Is there a machlokas in the Gemara about the institution of mitzvah b'aveira? The Ritva's referencing a Gemara in Sukkah, which just happens to be a sugya. So is that true? Is there such a machlokas or not? So let's go back to the first of the Ramah Kamos and take a look and see. Is there really such a machlokas? So if we go back to the first of the Ramah Kamos, where the Gemara was discussing why is a lulav hagozel after the first day posel. So the Gemara quoted Rabbi Yochanan, the name of Rabbi Shimon Yochai. We can take a look back at the second line of the Ramah Kamos, the end of the line. Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Shimon Yochai, Mishum Dav Mitzvah B'Aveira. Rabbi Shimon Yochai was one who introduced us the idea of Mitzvah B'Aveira, quoted by Rabbi Yochanan, that yes, clearly Rabbi Yochanan, the Amor Rabbi Yochanan, is siding off with this idea of Mitzvah B'Aveira. Who is the Bar Plukta? Who is the one who disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan? So the Ritva mentioned Shmuel. Who is Shmuel? Where did he come into the picture? So let's go five lines from the bottom of the first letter of Ramah Kamos. The Omer Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmeni Amar Shmuel, Lo Shana L'Biyam Devarisha. The only time is stolen lulav is posel is only on the first day. V'Biyam Devsheni. On the subsequent days, Yitoch Sheyotze B'Shol, Yotze Dami B'Gozol. If you Yotze with a borrowed lulav, then you Yotze with a stolen lulav as well. So this is clear cut, this is exactly what the Ritva is saying, that any Amora, i.e. Shmuel, who says you can be Yotzeh with stolen goods, first day you can't because it's not Lachem, so don't bother me with Lachem. But by the third day, Chol HaMoed, but there's no din of Lachem, it's only an issue of Mitzvah B'Aveira, from the fact that Shmuel accepts a stolen lulav as being, I mean, we're not advocating it, we're not encouraging people to steal things, but tachas, if it was stolen, so then Shmuel says you can be Yotzeh the Mitzvah, clearly, Shmuel is denying the entire institution of Mitzvah B'Aveira. So the Ritva just read Agamar. The Ritva says, I opened up Sukkah Daf Lamed. I noticed as Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel. Can you be Yotze with the stolen lulav after the first day? The Nakudas Machlokes, the point of contention is there a principle of Mitzvah B'Aveira or not? So according to Rabbi Yochanan, there is. According to Shmuel, there's not. And therefore, the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Tes must be following Shmuel. That's the Ritva's presentation of Asugah. However, not all the Rishonim read the Gemara the way I just read it. I just quote you the Ritva's way of reading it. Other Rishonim had a radically different way of reading this Gemara, and as such, would never ever be able to subscribe to the Ritva's Teretz. So if you take a look on the second page of the Ramah Kamos, a very, very small Tosfos. Usually when you see a one line like this, it's just like a snip that I took out of the Tosfos. No, this is the whole Tosfos. This is it. It's seven, eight words. On the fifth of the Ramah Kamos, on the fifth number of the Ramah Kamos, so comes, tells us in Sukkah Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, Mitoch sheyotze b'shol yotze b'gozel. This is Shmuel speaking. Shmuel said, denied, he disagreed with Rabbi Yochanan. Shmuel said, just as yotze after the first day with a borrowed lulav, yotze with a stolen lulav. So look at the way Tosfos presents, the way Tosfos explains Shmuel. Hocha dafka shehumid derabbanan. Says Tosfos, because we're only dealing with the mitzvah derabbanan, after all, it's after the first day, so there's no deraisa here. It's only a mitzvah derabbanan. Lo chayish ha-mitzvah b'aveira. Therefore, Shmuel wasn't so concerned with mitzvah b'aveira. What did Tosfos just say? Yeshua Tosfos just said a bombshell. Tosfos just said that nobody denies entirely mitzvah b'aveira. That wasn't the question. That's the wrong point. That's not what they're arguing about. Everybody accepts mitzvah b'aveira. What's the nekudas of achlokas? What's the point of contention between Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel? Does this idea of mitzvah b'aveira, should we institute this by mitzvahs derabbanan? Maybe one can argue. Listen, it's only derabbanan anyway. We can institute whatever rules we want. So we're going to be moichel, we'll be mevat, we'll forgo mitzvah b'aveira. We'll let you get away with mitzvahs derabbanan b'aveira. That was what Shmuel said. And Rabbi Yochanan said, no. Called the tikkun rabbanan getting deraisa tikkun. When the Chazal made a mitzvah, so the mitzvah has to be patterned after the deraisas. Just as by deraisas, there's a problem of mitzvah b'aveira, so too by the rabbanans, there's a problem of mitzvah b'aveira. According to this one half liner in Tosfos, nobody denies mitzvah b'aveira. Chalila, no, even Shmuel, nobody ever questions the posse malachi. You can argue with posse malachi. Of course there's a din of mitzvah b'aveira. Of course it's a psul deraisa by mitzvahs. The only reason why Shmuel was lenient here is because, well, this mitzvah is only derabbanan anyway, so who cares? Not so chosh, not so important anyway. So therefore the chachabim have a right to institute that you can be yelta even with a mitzvah b'aveira. But to say that anybody under the sun denies entirely mitzvah b'aveira, that's a non-starter according to Tosfos. So clearly Tosfos is arguing with the Ritva, because the Ritva is using Shmuel as the source of the individual who doesn't accept, never heard of mitzvah b'aveira, never accepted the principle entirely, and therefore, according to Shmuel, you need a pasuk to disqualify sukkah gezula. Tosfos can never say that. Tosfos would never dream of saying such a thing. Tosfos could never suggest such an idea, because according to Tosfos, nobody denies mitzvah b'aveira. Shmuel denies it by a quirk, by the din derabbanan of lulav. Shkoch, that's not going to help me. I'm talking about sukkah derais, and you're talking about lulav derabbanan. So the Ritva and Tosfos are diametrically opposed to one another as to what did Shmuel say. We know that Rabbi Yochanan accepted mitzvah b'aveira. That's a given. And Shmuel disagreed. What point did Shmuel disagree on? So according to the Ritva, Shmuel disagreed entirely and denied the entire principle of mitzvah b'aveira. According to Tosfos, no. Shmuel didn't disagree entirely. Shmuel agreed fundamentally. He just disagreed different one small point at the very end by mitzvah derabbanan. What is the Nekudas of Achlokes? Why did Tosfos and the Ritva come up with different presentations of what Shmuel are talking about? So this is a throwback to some of the earlier sugyas that we just learned a little while ago. Namely, what mitzvah are we talking about in our sugya? The Gemara is talking about lulav after the first day. Where? Are we talking about the mikdash? Or are we talking about in Tinek? So that was a big machlok. Is it Rishonim? Remember, according to half the Rishonim, our Gemara was talking about in Tinek. It's talking about Bezman Hazeh. It's talking about after the Chorban. That was Tosfos Ashita. Tosfos held that the whole mitzvah is on the Dirabonim. That's why we let a little Esrog HaChosa go and not a little Yavesh. That was the whole Tosfos that we spoke about Be'erichas a couple of weeks ago. According to Tosfos, our entire sugya is talking about lulav bizman hazeh mid derabbanan after the first day. So Tosfos is free to say, well, it's on the derabbanan. That's probably the reason why Shmuel was so lenient. If it would have been deraisa, nobody would have sanctioned mitzvah b'aveira. But the Ritva was a Talmud of the Talmidim of the Ramban. The Ritva was a Talmud of the Ra'al, was a Talmud of the Ramban. The Ramban was the one who disagreed with Tosfos. The Ramban was the one who learned lulav after the first day in our sugya is b'mikdosh, is deraisa. Remember the Ramban's whole theory. Lulav derabbanan doesn't come till 5 lot later. Till Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's bishta appears half a perek later. Right now we're talking on the level of deraisa. So if lulav after the first day and our sugi is deraisa, and Shmuel still says he doesn't worry about mitzvah b'aveira, that's a proof that he in fact denies mitzvah b'aveira. The way you interpret Shmuel, whether Shmuel is entirely disagreeing with mitzvah b'aveira, or whether he's only applying it to deraisas and not to derabbanans, that machlekes Tosfos and the Ritva is a simple extension, it's a corollary of the previous machlekes. What is the sugya talking about? Is the sugya talking deraisas? Is the sugya talking derabbanans? So when all the dust settles in the Rishonim, we have a few different approaches, few different ways to go to solve the problem. The main problem that we have is, if our sugya introduces mitzvah b'aveira, what happened in Daftes? Why doesn't mitzvah b'aveira appear in Daftes? Why does the Gemara need psukim to disqualify a sugya gzula? What happened to mitzvah b'aveira? So we have a couple of different approaches. We have Tosfos and Daftes that says mitzvah b'aveira, it's only a psul derabbanan. The pasuk doesn't really mean it. It's all asmach. It's all derabbanan. It's not me. Don't bother me. It doesn't exist mid deraisa. That's one approach. The second approach was with the Ritva quoted from the Tosfos Rebbeinu Peretz, who says yes, it applies. It's a real din, but it's limited only to mitzvahs of ritzoi, such as karbana, such as lulav. It doesn't apply outside of ritzoi mitzvahs. That was teretz number two. Teretz number three is the Ritva's personal teretz, his own teretz, that if you really do accept mitzvah b'aveira, then it does apply to sukkah. The only reason why it doesn't, but the Gemara leaves it out, is because the Gemara was following those opinions that mitzvah b'aveira in fact doesn't exist. So we have three different teretzim, but each one of them is a chiddush. Each one is filled with controversy. The first teretz of Tosfos and Daftes, that mitzvah b'aveira is only mitzvah rabbanan, that's a big, big question. Many, many, many disagree with that. The second teretz, that it only applies to mitzvah ritzoi, big problem, because it applies to matzah also in the Rishami. Third teretz, the Ritva's teretz, that, well, you know, it doesn't apply according to Shmuel, big problems, because going to Tosfos, later on, it really does, Shmuel does buy into mitzvah b'aveira, at least by deraisas. So each teretz has its own issues, its own problems, its own challenges, but again, each of the Gedolei Rishonim, the Tosfos, the Tosfos Ben Peretz, the Ritva, each one offers his own teretz to try to solve this problem. They have to move the clock forward about 600 years or so, and you get to the days of the Minchas Chinuch. So the Minchas Chinuch asks the same question. He's bothered with the same kasha, and he offers his own approach. So we're not going to read the entire Minchas Chinuch inside, those who have a lot of time in Shabbos, so it's one of the most famous, I don't want to rank Minchas Chinuch, I'd say it's definitely up there, one of the top 10 Minchas Chinuchs, not one of the top 5 Minchas Chinuchs. It's definitely up there, and it's interesting, he introduces this piece with a very fascinating introduction. If you take a look, we're not going to read it, we'll just read the first line because it's just interesting. Im ki ein darki bechibur zeh laharech bekushas apirukim, mashe ein ogeh ledina. He says, I don't talk about things that are not lamaisa. The Chassidah clearly had a much more expansive definition of what lamaisa means. He talks about chatzi ever chatzi ben chayrits, about tumtums and rehis. He's a lot of the sefers about things we wouldn't necessarily call, you know, the rabbi's manual halach lamaisa. But says become mokal no emna letaritz kishat tosis. He says, but afal bichein, I'm going to give a shtickle to her and I'm going to answer tosis kasha. She lufir is daiti svar nechayna. He says, I think what I'm going to say is correct. Then it takes him three paragraphs, give or take, to present this idea. So we'll try to say it a little bit outside. Again, those who have time, it's a very, doesn't make them, but beautiful, beautiful Mirchas Chinuch. So comes Mirchas Chinuch with a couple of important akdamas, some very basic introductions, which go way, way beyond just the intricacies of this particular kasha of the Rishonim. Says Mirchas Chinuch, there are fundamentally two kinds of mitzvahs asay. There are many mitzvahs, perhaps most mitzvahs, I say, that one is absolutely obligated to do, one is mechuyev to do that, and if one doesn't fulfill the mitzvah, by definition, one was mevatel the mitzvah. So we give just a couple of easy examples. There's mitzvah shofar. So the mitzvah shofar, it's not a choice. It's not like it's a nice thing to hear the shofar, and if you don't, that's okay. No. One is mechuyev to hear the shofar. So if you fulfill your chiyev, that's wonderful. And if for whatever reason you didn't fulfill your chiyuv, then you are a mevatel. You are a mevatel. It's a mitzvah. Or let's say, for example, the mitzvah of, we'll take lulav, because it's going to be one of our examples. Mitzvah taking lulav. Lulav is an optional mitzvah. Lulav is a type of a mitzvah that if and when you fulfill the mitzvah of lulav, then you have fulfilled your obligation. If you didn't fulfill lulav, then you were mevatel, then you were negligent, and you didn't fulfill your obligation. Those are many, many mitzvahs, perhaps most mitzvahs like that. However, there are other mitzvahs that it's a wonderful opportunity to do, and you should try if you can to do the mitzvah. But the lack thereof of doing the mitzvah doesn't necessarily mean that you lost anything. It doesn't mean you're mevatel the mitzvah. Say the marshal, the mitzvah of tzitzis. This week's Pasha Shlach. It's the mitzvah of tzitzis. So if a person chooses not to wear a four-cornered garment, and we're not encouraging that because it's a beautiful thing to do it and to try to chap to do a mitzvah. But if for whatever reason a person is not wearing a four-cornered garment, so he's not fulfilling the mitzvah of tzitzis. So we say to him, so what? So he's not feeling it, so what? It's not a bitla mitzvah. And again, it's not a good thing. It's not a sign of your shemayim. It's not a sign of chavivas ha-mitzvahs. All that is true. But in terms of push comes to shove, are you a mevatlas ha-mitzvah? No. The person who's not wearing the four-cornered garment in the first place is not a mevatlas ha-mitzvah. The only way to be mevatel the mitzvah of tzitzis is if you're wearing a four-cornered garment and you're not putting tzitzis on the four-cornered, that's a bitla mitzvah. That's a problem. But just the mere not fulfilling tzitzis, as long as you didn't end up in an obligation of tzitzis, that's not the end of the world. It's not a you break even with the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's no mitzvah, nothing gained, nothing lost. Another example of that is the mitzvah of sukkah. So the sukkah on the third day of Chol HaMoed sukkahs. So a person decides, listen, I don't want to do a ma'isa dira. After all, the Torah says, but sukkah is tein shishivas yamim. So the mechayev of sukkah is a dira. Anytime you do a ma'isa dira, you live. You live in a home. So that living, that act of living, that active dira must take place in a sukkah. But the person says, I'm not going to do an active dira right now. What constitutes an active dira? So we have a tradition that there are two things basically that are active dira. There's a chilashtia, whatever. There's eating, drinking, and shena, and sleeping. And if you think about it, that's basically what do we do in our homes. Bottom line is, why do we have a home? Why don't we just walk the streets? Why do we have to put money into a home? What do you need a home for? Everyone should just, you go to work, and then you walk around. So the terrorist says, well, you need a place to sleep, and you need a place to have some semblance of meals. You know, I mean, I guess if you live here, you go from restaurant to restaurant. You have to have some place to sit down eventually and call your home to sit down and eat, and you have to sleep. So that's basically the role of a home, is to be a makom dira for achila and shena. So therefore comes the halacha and says, Pesukos teishvu, shivas yomim. Anytime you do an act of achila on sukkahs, it has to be done in the sukkah. Anytime you do an act of shena, it has to be done in the sukkah. Now when it comes to the act of dira, in order to be called an act of dira that's chayiv in sukkah, it has to be a dira shel keva. It has to be almost like a permanent type of an act. Because after all, people do sometimes temporarily live outside of their own homes. Sometimes they will grab a bite somewhere else to eat. I'll grab a fruit on the run. I'll grab a nash. I'll grab a snack on the run. So people do those kinds of things. So therefore, the Mishnah says in Masechta Sukkah that the only kind of a dira that's obligated in sukkah is a dira shel keva. What constitutes a dira shel keva? So that's the whole sukkah, the second paragraph of sukkah, about what kind of food constitutes dira shel keva, how much food constitutes dira shel keva. When it comes to sleep, so even the smallest amount of sleep, the Gemara says it's called a keva, because all you need is to put your head down for 5 minutes, you wake up, you're refreshed. So sleep, by definition, is considered to be a dira shel keva. So it's for that reason that They're very, very specific halachas that govern how much food and what kind of food can be in outside the sukkah. When it comes to sleep, there's very little that governs it because the Gemara says ain't shen l'keva. But that's the basic halacha, that a diras keva is a mechayev of sukkah. So if a person says, listen, today I'm not doing any diras keva. I'm going to eat apples, I'm going to munch on a bag of potato chips today. I'm not going to put my head down, I'm not going to take a nap, I'm going to learn all night, I'm not going to go to sleep tonight. Person's allowed to do that. So that in effect, they didn't have a diras keva. So that's like tantamount to the fellow who didn't put on the beggar of dollar kantfas. So if he spends the entire day outside, he spends the whole day in Six Flags. He doesn't have any hamotzi, he doesn't have any mizonis, doesn't take a nap, doesn't go to sleep, spends the entire day running around. So, well, nothing gained, nothing lost. Okay, was that the optimal way to spend sukkahs? Maybe it would have been nice if he would have tried to find some time to fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah. But at the end of the day, he didn't really lose anything. No different than the person who decided not to put on the four-cornered baguette today. So again, so you have different kinds of mitzvahs. Some mitzvahs are either your yotzei or your mevatel, and there are other mitzvahs which are great, and you can get a mitzvah if you do it. But if you don't do it, so the world won't come to an end. Even within different mitzvahs, you almost find different types. Even within the mitzvah of sukkah, there may be two parts. There really are two parts. So the way I describe to you the mitzvah of sukkah, that's sukkah after the first night. So a third day chalamai, the guy decides he doesn't want to eat in the sukkah. That's okay, that's fine. Nothing bad, nothing good. The first night of sukkahs, so then we have a special gzeir shavu, a special drasha, that the first night of sukkah takes on the characteristics of matzah. It's derived from gzeir shavu, chabish asar. The first night of sukkah, it's not voluntary mitzvah. It's not, you know, if you want to, that's great, and you know, that's fine. The first night of sukkah, everybody's obligated to eat a kazayis of matzah, kazayis of challah, bread, according to some kazayis, according to some kabeitz of oid. You have to eat X amount in the sukkah. That's a mitzvah chiyuvis. And if you don't do that, that's a bitla mitzvah. That's tantamount to be mevatel the mitzvah of not eating matzah the first night of Pesach. So you have within certain mitzvahs, you even have almost like two different tracks. The sukkah first night, the sukkah subsequent nights. According to some, matzah, you may have the same thing also. According to some, even though the Torah Shabbat tells us, in Pesach quotes of Reis, that teaches us that there's no chiyuv to eat matzah after the first night, but after the matzah is only on the first night. So there's a big machlokes. What about, is there a mitzvah? Is there a kiyum? Is there something to be gained by eating matzah? You have some pounds to be gained, and more to be gained by eating matzah after the first night? So there's a famous sheet that said Gra. The Gra wasn't the first one to say it. There was some Rishon already said it, but it became known, like many things, became known as the sheet that said Gra. So the Gra and those Rishon before him said that you're not mechuyev to eat matzah after the first night. That's true. And if you don't, nothing lost, nothing wrong. But there's still a mitzvah. And any kazayis matzah, any matzah you eat after the first night is still considered to be a extended mitzvah. So it would be a good idea. Okay. Like the same way it's a nice idea to put on tzitzit, nice idea to eat in the sukkah. So according to the Gra and those before him, it would be a nice idea to continue to eat matzah as well. Those who disagree with that Gra would say there's no such mitzvah. It doesn't exist. So again, so within the world of mitzvah, says the Mechas Chinuch, it's important for us to identify those mitzvahs that carry with them a lack of fulfillment, translates to mean a bittul, and those mitzvahs that are just fulfillments, and if you don't do it, you don't lose anything. Why is that so important? So that becomes critical in terms of analyzing the notion of mitzvah b'aveira. So comes Mechas Chinuch and starts off with a very lumdish question. When a person does a mitzvah derech mitzvah b'aveira, so what's pshat? Is the psul of mitzvah b'aveira a psul in the cheftza? It means this is a posel of sukkah. There's a posel of lulav. There's a posel of matzah. There's a posel of piyotzvah. Is that the pshat? It's like a psul of cheftza. But does mitzvah b'aveira speak to the gavra, speak to the person, and say, you, as a person, can no way fulfill your obligation if in the process of fulfilling your obligation, you're just stealing. You stole something and you want to use that to fulfill, to be yetzi, your chavis agavra? That's out of the question. Is the chavtza kosher? What's wrong with the chavtza? The sukkah. It's less than 20 hours to all, more than 10 to welcome to all, it's got kosher schach, got the right amount of it. It's everything going for it. But it's stolen. Or the lulav, it's great, it's beautiful, it's a mahudra, it's a gavaldik, a beautiful lulav, but it's stolen. So is the butt stolen a chisar de chefza, or is butt stolen only a din that relates to the gavra? So the Mechas Chinuch is going to combine those two different areas of lomdas about dividing up those mitzvahs, differentiating between those mitzvahs that are chiyuvim versus those mitzvahs that are just chiyumim, and then put that together with the notion of anytime you have a psul, you have to always identify is it a psul a gavra, psul a chefza, as those two aspects are going to combine together to create the background for the Mechas Chinuch's breakthrough. So next week, we'll try to continue from this point in the Mechas Chinuch's chiddush. Just in terms of...